This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Hello, everybody. 107. We're in hour number two of Food for Thought. It's Mike and Carol. Carol is away. She'll return on Monday. Chef Patrick Hall is here, Lakes Region Community College, Director of Culinary Education there. School is just getting underway for the new semester. And so we got a nice treat for lunch. It's always nice when you get fed because it seems like you're always the person doing the feeding.
Yeah, you know, it's that was great. I love I love that segment. You know, the whole with the mayor coming out and everything like that. And so it's just like the beer. It's great to see new restaurants because I don't when you're in the business, you know a lot of restaurants, but at the same time, you're like always looking for something new, So
how often do you actually get out and get to try some restaurants?
Like I said, my family, goes in the summertime, goes up north, mm-hmm. mostly up in Maine.
Oh, right. Yep.
So we get out a lot up there. And, mm-hmm. We eat out a lot. Probably too much, too much to the point where we're trying to cut back on the amount we eat out because obviously mm-hmm. it's money and then I don't know why we just don't, you get your chance. You cook all the time that mm-hmm. you get home. You're like, it's like a carpenter. They're not going to build a house when they get home.
Carpenters always have the worst repairs to be done in their homes. Yeah. And auto mechanics always have the cars with the hubcaps missing or something like that, but I can imagine. So. Well, let's say hello to Linda Thompson-Ditch, who joins us from Topeka, Kansas, a one-time writer here, a publisher of over 1,000 articles on all kinds of things, much of it food. And welcome. Very nice to talk to you, as always, Linda.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Steph. How's everything going today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I love listening to the mayor and you guys in the first hour, usually before I come on. It is so much fun listening and hearing his thoughts about the food you serve him. And then, the political scene back there. Mm-hmm. I miss kind of being around all the hubbub of being the first in the nation primary state. I kind of miss being around all that. That's a lot of fun.
It really is fun and exciting. And I'm sure for a lot of people it's an inconvenience if you live downtown or near here. But, there's no other place in the world really that gets that kind of publicity for one whole week every winter, every 4 years. So you kind of enjoy it. It's good for business. And I guess if people hate politics and maybe they don't like to be here, they go to Florida that week.
That's right. Well, and I think it's fun. I remember once being in the Peterborough Diner, and I forget which election it was, but I think it was George W.'s last one. But I remember, just sitting in the Peterborough Diner, and then in comes Joe Lieberman when he was campaigning for president. You just never know where these guys are going to pop up sometimes to do a little campaigning and handshaking. But it's nice. You get to talk to them, ask them straightforward questions, see how they respond. Hopefully you don't get the party line stuff from them. And
well, typically you do, though.
How it makes them tick. Yeah, most of the time you do. But sometimes, hopefully you can kind of catch them when you're
That's the worst part.
One-on-one.
As a broadcaster, and I've interviewed plenty of politicians, the worst part is the fact that you typically just get an answer that, they told somebody 5 minutes ago. It's so I guess if you want to get a different answer, ask a different question, I guess it would be the solution for somebody in my position. But the most interesting situation for me along those lines was the 2012 election the night before. We actually were fortunate enough to get to talk to President Barack Obama at the station I was at the time. It was just a handful of stations he was going to talk to around the country, and for some reason we were selected. So what we decided to do is not ask a question that was going to get the same answer because, it's not my job to help him get elected, but he is a sitting president, and that's kind of cool for me on my resume. So I said, all right, we can do this. So my partner at the time had a daughter who was about 12, and we brought her in as part of the interview process and and decided that she would ask President Obama a question. Her question was something to the effect that, I'd like to be dating and, my mom won't let me. And I know that you have young daughters. So, how do you deal with it? And he gave a great answer. He was, for 1 minute, he wasn't the president. He wasn't some guy running for office. He was a dad.
Dad, yep.
I love it.
And I think that he appreciated it or at least enjoyed the diversion and because he went on and on.
I do the same thing when I'm interviewing a big name chef that's maybe promoting a new cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, because they have their talking points that they want to get across. And you know, if it's about a new book and I like the book especially, I'm more than happy to let them do their talking points, but you want to get a sense of who they really are. So many times I'll ask them a family-related question, or one time I interviewed Emeril Lagasse, and it was just after, it wasn't Katrina, but it was an earlier hurricane, and I knew, I saw news reports from down there that it had been flooded, and so I asked how, you know, repairs for that were going, how his staff was doing, you know, and then you talk to them about their kids or, you know, something like that, and you tend to get a little more of the feel of who they are as a person versus the persona that they have to put out there for the rest, for everybody to see.
Very true, and I think he's a good example of somebody who is just fine. If you never get to his talking points, because that's why they're on the air with you or doing an interview, because they want to get the word out of a cookbook or a show or something on the Food Network. He's the kind of guy, though, that if you never got to it, he'd be okay. He would just talk to you about whatever you want, because he seems like he's very secure. And there are others that when they give your first answer that's off point, they somehow try to bring it back. And once you sense that, you just kind of, you know, go with it.
And they probably have, you know, if their book's coming out, they're probably getting barraged with the same questions all the time.
Bingo.
And so it's like, you know, they get a new question, like, oh, finally I can say something different than
normal.
Right.
And in this case with President Obama, the response and the audio from that went viral. We were in every newspaper, USA Today,
that's cool.
Rolling
that's really
Stone, cool. Huffington Post, New York Times, you name it, Washington Post. And it was pretty cool Googling that the next day and seeing our call letters and all these stories, because it was the president talking about being a dad.
Yeah, that is
and
really
so
well. And you guys being a good journalist by thinking outside of this typical box.
Yeah, you know, we said, well, this is kind of a risk, but, you know, how can you not talk to a 12-year-old girl when you've got a couple of them about that age at the time? So, I find that, Linda, is exactly as you say, find some other conversation, but make sure you do give them a chance to say what they want to say. And what I just research the heck out of these people and find stories they don't even know is out there about them, and then you hit them with one of those things that they forgot they've ever said or done, and they wonder, whoa, where did that come from? But they say, but you know what? You did your homework, and when they realize you have put some effort into it, they really will give you a good interview.
I'm watching you.
Yeah. I'm stalking you. Hey, speaking of stalking, I was stalking your blog earlier today, and I didn't realize, Linda, that you are such a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Well, Chiefs fan. Well, I was born a Chiefs. I like to explain it this way. Okay. I was born a Kansas City Chiefs fan back in the early days when Lynn Dawson was the quarterback, but you know, 20 years in New England, the Patriots have won me over. So I tend to say more of, I'm a Patriots fan, but also a Chiefs fan, and I'm only in trouble when they play each other.
I feel your pain. When I grew up, and you know, the Patriots weren't doing well when I was growing up, and I was in fourth grade. I started playing, you know, football as a kid, but the first Super Bowl I saw was the 49ers with Joe Montana to Roger Clark, and it's stuck. So I've been a 49ers fan. Everybody's like, how do you grow up in New England and become? Because the football team back then was like,
they were huge then. I mean, Joe Montana was
huge.
Guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But,
well, and I was a fan. I was a 49ers fan for a long time because I went to college with Steve Young.
Oh, yeah.
And I was acquainted with him in college.
Brigham Young,
course,
right?
You know, when he wound up there, I mean, for a year I was a Tampa Bay fan because he played for Tampa Bay for like a year. And then he went to 49ers. And, I was a 49ers fan. Sometimes you pick a player you like, you know?
The only time I was upset with Joe Montana is when he went to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
so,
right.
See, we love him here for doing that.
You know, he went there and he still had another guy. They were like tossing him aside like he was too old or something. And all of a sudden he has a great year. You know, I was just like,
it's a point of pride here too that Marcus Allen, you know, even though he spent all that time with the Raiders, when he came to Kansas City not long before he retired for a couple of years, and when he retired as a Chief and not as a Raider, and we were very proud of that fact.
Sure. Well, the reason that I read about that is because your food topic today was some good tailgating football food. And as the preseason continues and the real season starts in about 2 weeks, you get people all pumped up with chicken wings and some other really good stuff. So share some of that with us today.
Well, the chicken wings, I think of football fair. And of course, the first thing that comes to mind to me are buffalo wings. And I wanted something that would be fun. You know, I've made buffalo wings in the past where I like to bake them in the oven instead of deep frying them. So I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do them on the grill? You know, you're pulling out the grill one last time before it gets too cold, you know, to enjoy it. And so, and we used to, when my ex-husband and I in New Hampshire, we used to have a, put the TV out on the deck at the beginning of football season. You know, we'd put on a Patriots game on the TV on the deck with friends coming over, and we'd fire up the grill. So why not do that, you know, before it gets too cold? And I thought, well, why not make buffalo wings on the grill? And so, you know, just grill up the wings instead of baking them, instead of frying them. And then I found this buffalo sauce. I was looking for buffalo sauce recipes, and I found one that a Cordon Bleu, one of those schools somewhere in this country, I can't remember which one it was, they put a little twist on it, and I kind of took that and adopted it my own and changed it around a little bit. But this typical buffalo sauce has a hot sauce, a Louisiana-style hot sauce, like Frank's Red Hot is the most popular one, and you put butter, and that's pretty much it. That's what your buffalo sauce is. But this one has a little Worcestershire sauce and a little celery seed, and I crush a couple of garlic cloves and cook it in with the sauce. And it is so good. It was so, you could swim in this sauce. It's so good if you can stand the heat. So, you know, change it up a little bit with the grill and the little buffalo sauce. It's got some layers of flavor to it. And I really, it's my go-to one now. I'm going to use it from now on.
So let me get this straight. You like football and wings. Where have you been all my life? I'm telling you. Every week I learned something more about you, and I was like, oh, you know?
Well,
easy, boy.
And it's funny because part of the blog itself tells some tales about how my late husband, the picky eater, you know, one of the reasons we connected was because we're both sports fans, and football is my real thing. He never could understand my love of NASCAR. But I said, well, that's because I lived 15 minutes from the track when I lived in New England. So,
right.
You know, you can't not like NASCAR after a while. But no, football has been, I've loved football since I can remember, tossing the ball with my dad, you know. But, and the blog is always kind of about how I whooped my brothers-in-law and family members when they let me take over the Picky Eaters team in the Family Football League that's been around for 10 years now. And
I
last
saw that.
Year they let me.
So you went like 10-3, didn't you? Didn't you go 10-3?
Yeah, I went 10-3 into the championship game. and they were all, it was such, because I think they thought they were going to have an easy time of it. Oh, she, you know, what can she know about football? You know, little did they know that I know football. I could never go on a date in college to a football game because chances were I knew more about the game than the guy I was with. And they don't like that.
I'd be fine with that. I've never been in that situation.
I'd be fine. You know, I went to when I got married. There was a two-part present that my folks got me, and I'm afraid of heights. I can't stand them, and they got me a balloon ride because my wife wanted to always take a balloon ride.
No.
And so yeah, so but the other half was that she had to go to a 49ers Patriots game, and so it's like I got her a little hot chocolate, and we're sitting there, and it was like I was trying to watch the game, and it's like every other question is like, so now what is this and what is it? I'm like, oh. So I probably welcome that, you know.
How did you do in the balloon, Patrick?
Oh my God, it wasn't so bad, okay, because it brings you up, but you know, and it's quiet, it's very quiet, you know.
Oh yeah.
But we went up for a little bit, and then all of a sudden we come back down, and he goes, "Oh, I wasn't going to tell you." He's like, "Can you get on that thing and straighten out that rope that's on there?" I'm like, "You got to be kidding me!" So, but then we went back up, and you fly up, and you don't know how long you're going to be up for,
right?
Because it depends on the wind, and luckily it wasn't that windy day, so we did about a half an hour.
But landing's always kind of an adventure because you kind of bump into the ground a little bit,
and
sideways.
And if you land in someone's yard, you got to bring a bottle of champagne.
That's right.
and do that sort of thing. But I was surprised. It wasn't so bad. You know, it was very nice and still and easy, and it wasn't so bad. But
yeah,
I've
done that twice.
You like the Patriots 49ers game better.
Yes, I'd rather sit up in the stands with hot cocoa and
hot cocoa my butt.
Yeah, that was my wife. I had beer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, going back to the wings, you had mentioned like when I do a segment with my students and we make our own hot sauce and we start off with a base of cider vinegar and I take those canned chipotle peppers you take them and puree them up, simmer it with some onions, some garlic, salt, pepper. And we add some sugar to that. I also add a little bit of chicken stock to kind of get that sweet and, you know. And then I, you know, add brown sugar to it too. And boil it down, then I kind of thicken a little bit and add a glaze to it. And then you can toss it with butter. That comes out perfect.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you puree it up and strain
it. Sounds great.
So you got the smoky chipotles and you got the sweet and then all sorts of stuff. And then there's another one too with the Asian. I do half soy sauce, half teriyaki. Brown sugar, the chili garlic paste that you find in the Asian sections, the chili garlic paste, mirin wine, and I also put in hoisin sauce. And you reduce that down.
Oh, I always wanted to do an Asian one. I'm going to have to try that.
You're going to try that. And it's very easy. You reduce it down until it becomes a glaze. You toss your wings in it, and it sticks right to it. But I'm with you on the roasted wings and then also the oven wings, because when you put them back inside the oven, they kind of like stick to it. And it just glazes up the wing very good, you know, rather than frying it all the time, you know, so.
How do the Chiefs look this coming season for you?
Well, that was, so far, you know, the word's kind of out yet. I think everybody's got high hopes, and especially with Jeremy Maclin coming from Philadelphia. So we've got a good long receiving threat for Alex Smith to target. So, I mean, people are hopeful as far as that goes. But I think we're still just kind of, we're hoping and we're just waiting. I mean, you know, being in the same division with the Broncos and the Chargers makes it a little difficult, but I think we've got a good shot. I really do.
And will you get to any Chiefs games at Arrowhead this year?
I don't know. I haven't figured. I'd love to, but I haven't figured out yet if I'm going to be able to fit that in. And besides, I mean, I spend my Sundays on the Red Zone watching, you know, all these teams to make sure my fantasy team is doing all right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, fantasy football player. I love
the Red Zone. Love it. You know, they show every touchdown to every game.
Only way I can see the Patriots on some weekends, because, you know, if they're not being shown out here, so, and I don't have the, I can see every game going, so I have to watch the Red Zone and see, hopefully when the Patriots get in the Red Zone, I can see what's happening, so.
Sounds like a sportscaster. So what do you think about that? And that's for CBS Sports, you know?
I thought about doing that when I was in college, actually. I actually did broadcast journalism for a while, thinking of doing that. But back in those days, it was just before women started doing that kind of thing. So,
our producer, J-Dog, says that his pick for Super Bowl 50 is Packers-Chiefs.
Packers, I could see it. I could definitely see it. But boy, it's going to be a tough road to hoe, I tell you. Well, and with the Packers losing Jordy Nelson last week, that's a tough one too. So, see, I know football. Did I tell you I know football?
Well, if the 49ers keep all their players out of trouble, I think they could be okay. But you know, I don't know about this year.
Out of trouble and keep them from retiring. I mean, they had a bunch of players retire that were young, but you know, they just retired because they didn't want the head injury issues and stuff, so they retired.
Yeah,
so,
maybe
yeah,
Brett Favre will come back for his ninth time. Who knows?
He's looking pretty good in the commercials, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
he's
airbrush.
Yeah,
he can make you look that good, Pat.
Well, hey, Randy Moss keeps hitting around and he wants to come back.
Yeah, I heard that.
Is there any team he hasn't played for yet?
I think he'll take any team right now if they want to give him a shot.
Well, I hope that we do some more food segments on football season food, because this was fun. Gives us a chance to talk a little bit about the Patriots and Chiefs. And we will see you next week. And tell us how people can find your blog, your website, and your Facebook page.
My blog is There and Back Again Food at www.thereandbackagainfood.com. And you can find me on Facebook. Either you can, my personal page, of course, is Linda Thompson Ditch, or you can find the There and Back Again Facebook page. Just give them a search. And also, I'm also on Twitter at Linda A. Ditch, so you can find me there as well. So,
one last bit of trivia before we say goodbye. Compliments of J-Dog. A Packers-Chiefs Super Bowl 50 would be a rematch of Super Bowl I.
Oh, that's
so
yep.
There you go.
Yeah,
think about
in
that.
Kansas
Thanks,
City
J-Dog.
Right now, there's... And they have a big, huge exhibit at Union Station with it's called Gridiron Glory, with all this Hall of Fame memorabilia from the NFL Hall of Fame. And yeah, they have all that stuff from those first couple of Super Bowls that the Chiefs were in back in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the Midwest in Detroit, and the Lions have never sniffed any kind of depth in the playoffs. They've only been a couple times, maybe one game, one and done. So that would be a thrill, but I don't know that this will be the year. I'm sure it won't be. Anyway, we have to run, and Linda Thompson-Ditch will speak next week. Thanks so much.
Talk to you then. You guys have a good rest of the day.
Yeah.
I just added you as a friend, by the way, too. I had to put that out there, so.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. There you go. Another Linda fan. All right. We'll see you later, Linda. Take care.
Take it easy.
All righty. It is 1:27. We'll come back. A few things to chat with the chef about. I also want to do a roundup of what's happening in our area in terms of food promotions, things that maybe you didn't know about that I found on ManchesterInkLink.com, which is a fantastic internet news service, and they now have a little rundown of what's happening in the world of food. So I'm going to hit you with that and a few other things with Chef Patrick Hall, my co-host, in place of Carol Lawrence today. 1:27, it's The Pulse, Food for Thought. 107.7 WTPL. Be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Yeah, that's us, The Pulse, 107.7 WTPL. I am Mike Moore and Carol Lawrence. My co-host is back on Monday. Chef Patrick Hall is joining me for the remaining moments of our show, which today and every day is brought to you by Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now with the drive-thru in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com, and Mama McDonough's Irish Pub, 5 Depot Street in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side. Look for them on Facebook. So there are lots of things going on in the city. We talked with the Mayor Ted Gantzis about the big Assumption Greek Orthodox Church hosting the big Greek Fest this weekend. And there's so much more. My friends over at ManchesterInkLink.com, which is an excellent local internet service about what's happening in Manchester and around the area. And I just noticed that they have a little food roundup page. So I thought I would share a few of the things that are going on that you may be interested in.
Sure.
So here is the rundown. Portland Pie, which is just a couple doors down from us here on Elm Street in Manchester. Portland Pie wants to host your fantasy football draft.
Oh, there we go.
Got Patrick's attention. The Downtown Eatery is offering $5 Bud Light pitchers, half-price appetizers, and free Wi-Fi. You can get in touch with the restaurant to reserve a space.
Have you ever done fantasy football?
I actually have not. I do pools. I've done like internet pools and then just friends doing pools. I have never done fantasy.
I did it. I did it a couple of years in a row. And people, you know, guilted me into doing it. I'm like, I'm not getting into that, you know. And then I did it. And the most frustrating thing is I always forget to keep checking my list of players and find out who's injured and who's not injured and switching them out and in. And it's a lot of work. I don't know.
Well, it is. It is a lot of work. And you better have some time and, you know, and like you say, remember to check the status of your players.
Yeah.
Greek Fest is happening, as we mentioned, Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 10 on Saturday, 11 to 7 Sunday at Assumption Greek Orthodox Church, which is Island Pond Road, Manchester. If you've been here at all, you know where it is. Live music, craft sale, and a food tent featuring Greek specialties like souvlaki, gyro. That's how I see it pronounced. There's gyro.
No, that's, yeah. They,
it is gyro?
Gyro,
yep. Chicken kaboobs. That should be kebabs. I'm sorry.
Those are different ones. I like those.
I think that's a misprint there. And of course, pastries. I mean, who doesn't love the Greek
baklava?
Baklava, yes. Have you ever made that kind of layered pastry?
Yeah, you know, we do it in our when we're our pastry classes.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, I mean, it's phyllo dough with nuts and brown sugar, and you layer it, but then you pour the syrup on it afterwards.
Is it kind of a honey?
Yeah, it's like a lemon honey syrup that you boil down, you put right over the top. So
you got to love doing it because it looks tedious to me, but
butter, it's filled with butter and sugar and lemon. You can't go wrong, you know.
Right. Finesse Pastries, which is just up the street here, 968 Elm, offering a variety of 1-day, 3-hour classes for the beginner pastry chef.
Yeah, that's cool.
Upcoming classes include French macaron, macaron, is that how you
macaroon,
say it?
Macaroon, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no double O there, so.
Huh. They're probably the larger ones.
Yeah.
So I think the one's called macaroon, one's macaron, so.
But if it were French, it would be macaron on September 2nd and 15th, $60 for that. Also a series of baking artisan breads, $75 each class. It's funny, I've been going to King Arthur all these years, and now we've got a place
right
I can do that. Right in town, and Dancing Lion, who was with us last Friday, told us that they do some baking classes, including one on croissants.
That's awesome.
Croissants, of course, is basically a three-day program if you want to do it right. But I guess they show you how to do it, and you do all the folding and all that stuff. But obviously, you don't have 3 days to stay there, so you get to go home with something that's been rising for 3 days. Then you take it home and bake it.
Yeah,
so
traditionally, it's 3 days. You do what's called a book fold method. So you make the dough, and you roll it out into squares, and you take layers of butter, and you just –
it's like 24 layers, I think, something like that.
Yeah, and you really want to fold it like three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a bakery, like you put it in there, but you want to let it rest is what happens.
Yes.
That's the trick, and that's why it takes so long,
because
you want to let it rest, and then you want to fold it again so that you get those fine layers and that rise of the croissant dough. Yeah. So,
all right, let's go over to Billy's Sports Bar. Hanging on to summer with buy one, get one free lobster rolls. Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
I know Billy. He's
I work
with Alan's restaurant in Bosquin, and Alan and Billy are good friends, and he's got quite a place. I'm
two for
you.
One lobster rolls.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
Liking that. The Raw Bar has returned to Hanover Street Chop House. Clams, oysters, and shrimp, $1 each. That is,
that's ridiculous.
I know. I know the owner, Stephen Clutter, and he says basically it's I don't think he makes money on it.
Yeah,
but it's a good way to bring people in, and it's fun.
Did you ever see the seafood tower they put out?
I've not seen theirs, but I've seen them in other places where it literally is a metal construction with different layers of plates and different foods and stuff.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job. It's one of my favorite places.
Hanover Street Chop House. Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
We go there several times, and it's not just the food; it's the service too.
Oh yes.
And the way they come around with their jackets on, and they're removing your silverware you don't need to the glasses. To the putting it right, you always I notice things like that. People are like, do you ever judge people? No, but I judge service a lot.
Right.
So when you sit down and you notice when someone notices that you drink from the right hand, you're sort of like, and they put your drink on your right hand side, that's attention.
Yeah. See, now I didn't think of that. I just figured they would have a set way to set the table, and it would be wherever. But so they watch what if you're left or right handed.
Yeah, they watch if you're left or right hand.
Do many restaurants? I can't imagine.
Well,
many
the higher end ones. So anybody that provides proper service and things.
Okay,
like
probably
that.
Like Bedford Village Inn would do that. And okay, good to know.
Place called Function Spirits and Spoonfuls, 931 Elm Street, in the former Dos Amigos location, getting ready to open its doors. According to the eatery's Facebook page, they are waiting for the liquor license. That's Function, FUNKTION Spirits and Spoonfuls. So according to this, and I just pulled this off this morning, not open quite yet. The Foundry will partner with the Farmer's Dinner October 11th. The details are being worked out. Watch the Foundry's Facebook page or Farmer's Dinner, the Farmer's Dinner, for more information. Of course, the Foundry, the new Dean Kamen restaurant in the former Jillian's space at Exit 5 off of 293. Haven't been there yet?
Not yet.
Got to get there. So anyway, another Farmer's Dinner. You're doing one. We'll mention that again in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
LaBelle Winery. Have you been there?
Nope. Not at all.
What a beautiful facility, not only for winemaking, but now a function center. And they do a lot of interesting things there. They're really making good use of their space and keeping it busy. Offering Cooking with Grapes class as part of their winemaker's kitchen cooking series. Attendees will prepare grape cake, roast chicken with grapes, and tuna steaks with capers and grape salsa. That's September 16th from 6 to 7:30. It's only $25 a person for a cooking class where you get to eat and probably bring stuff home. That's a pretty good price.
That's really cool. Yeah, that is a great price. If you go into a restaurant, $25 for an entree.
You go to Stonewall Kitchen or someplace, you sit there and then they do the cooking in front of you, then you eat it. It's not that cheap. And finally, New Hampshire Liquor and Wine Outlets offering free wine and spirits tastings and classes throughout the state. I'm sure you go to their website. Yeah. And I've been to a couple of those, and those are fun to go to. You get just a lot of fun people coming in, sampling and buying. So that's what's happening around southern New Hampshire over the next couple days and week or so. As far as food-related things, a little later into September, you have an event at Shaker's Village.
Yeah, Shaker Village, just the farm-to-table dinner. We're utilizing all local, like I said, local fresh food. The Concord Co-op has a food grower that's at Shaker. They have a partnership between Shaker Village and Concord Co-op, and they're growing all sorts of food. I'm in contact with the grower every day, and she's like, "Oh, I got pickling cukes. I got your fingerling potatoes, and then all these apples and everything." So, it's been quite a good deal to be involved with that. But we're doing a dinner with ourselves, you know, with myself included, Lakes Region Community College.
Are you kind of, are you the one orchestrating
no,
it?
No, actually, Concord Co-op and Shaker Village is orchestrating it. Right. And they've brought in Jeff Page.
Yep.
He was a longtime owner, you know, chef there at that Shaker Village. Yeah.
Yes, true.
So, yeah, he got endorsed with a book from Julia Childs there.
I was going to say, I think that's where he cooked with her, right?
Yeah.
Was it Shaker Village?
Shaker Village, okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of food history. That guy is just amazing with the food history, especially with Shaker Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he starts talking like this, I'm like, listen.
Well, he was one of the original farm-to-table guys, really.
He
We're
was.
Talking the early 90s when people went, huh, never heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. He was fresh food? What? Huh?
Yeah.
You know, so. And, yeah, so he's him, and then Scott Ouellette from O's, and then Rob Cohn from the Concord Co-op. Millie's Tavern's going to have their spirits there, you know, and so it's going to be a really good event, you know. And all the money's going to support Shaker Village. You know, Shaker Village is one of the greatest museums in the United States, and it's so packed with rich with history and all sorts of stuff, and it's just beautiful on top. You get a day and spend it, you know, people come from all over the world. Spend
mm-hmm.
a day there. It's excellent.
Been there twice. I need to go back again once the restaurant opens and I can
now
come,
that I'm here. Yeah,
now that you're here, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, come out and we'll roll out the red carpet for you. So
let's. Speaking of educating, which is what your primary career is, I read this yesterday, but it was an earlier segment, so I'm going to repeat it now for you and for others who may have missed it, and that is. The best colleges for food around the country.
Yeah.
How many are from New England? How many are from New Hampshire? I've got, looks like 9 that made the top 75, and I'll tell you what they are and where they rank. We'll come back here in just a moment. It's 142 Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Well, here we are. We're just minutes away from wrapping things up on Thursday's edition of Food for Thought. Tomorrow, we'll be doing our final summer series from the sidewalk out in front of the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street, downtown Manchester, just up a couple blocks from the Radisson. Kind enough to provide lunch today from JD's Tavern at the Radisson Hotel, which is pretty much the center of things when the primary comes to town as far as media coverage and gathering and stuff like that. So thank you once again to Chef Rob and Maureen for coming by with lunch for Mayor Gatzis here about an hour and a half ago. So we have been, and we often do talk with you about teaching. Your next semester is getting underway at Lakes Region Community College at the beautiful grounds of Shaker Village where you work. And so the survey, and I got this off MSN.com, but I'm not positive on who actually took the survey. It just showed up on their website. But I know this comes out every year, and it's the 75 best colleges for food, meaning food service.
Yeah.
You know, where the students are going to eat as opposed to, you know, what you do. Because you don't really prepare food
no,
for,
we
you don't really
have
it.
On, bit, we actually have dorm houses coming up.
Oh, you do?
And so, there's going to be start ones, but so it's...
Well, might that involve you to some degree? Or?
Yeah. We're a little bit talks, you know, because we're going to... We're also building a kitchen on the main campus too. So,
well, community colleges are just exploding because they really are a good place for so many students.
Sure,
as cost wise and everything else. So, anyway, that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
So here we go: 75 best colleges for food. I checked, and there were I picked Maine. I picked Maine, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire.
Yeah, Massachusetts, UMass Amherst, which is on that list.
They are.
Yeah.
They are indeed.
Yeah.
You're right. You want to take a guess at any others?
I had I would say UMass Amherst. I would say Maine. UVM.
Well, the number one is from Maine, but UMaine.
No, it isn't. Okay.
No.
UMass Amherst, I know because I had a student that went there was telling me it was amazing. So we have kind of articulation agreements with four-year colleges, and they have a food science program. But they said their staff, they have like food competitions. He was telling me they had a lobster bake one day for the students.
Really?
I was like, what? Yeah. He's like, chef, you should come up here and see this. You know. So he graduated from us. He went on for his bachelor's and his master's there. And it was amazing. He's like, yeah, we're having a lobster. I was like, what, a lobster bake this week? He's like, yeah, they had a lot for. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, so that popped in my head instantly. You said Maine.
Yeah, the number one school actually in the whole country for food service for students is in the state of Maine.
UNE?
I'll let you think about it while I run down the other list.
Yeah.
So save your answer till we get to it, and then we'll see if you have it, because it's not the other one you just mentioned.
Okay.
So, again, this is just in New England, and specifically Maine, Mass, and New Hampshire. Number 74 on the list is Boston College.
Oh.
Number 61, St. Anselm College, right across the river here in Manchester. Number 55, rather, is Tufts in Medford, Boston. Number 53, best colleges for food service for students, is Northeastern.
Okay.
A lot of them in the Boston area, including number 39, MIT.
MIT, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Harvard comes in at number 24.
24, huh?
So now we're into the top 13.
Yeah.
Number 13, UMass Amherst.
Oh, yeah?
That's pretty darn good.
That's pretty good.
When you consider thousands of colleges and they're in the elite. And you said they have food competitions?
Yeah, that's what he was telling. But you know, my I have a couple of students there, and they were telling me. They said that they're the food program that they have there have food competitions amongst themselves. And
I did read that about one of the colleges, and maybe that was the one.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Hmm. Is Johnson & Wales on that list?
No.
Oh my! You gotta be kidding me! Oh.
I don't think so. I didn't include Rhode Island, but that would have caught my attention.
Yeah, yeah. We had a great food program when I was at Johnson & Wales. Oh well, it's all the students that are learning how to cook going to the food service program.
Right, yeah, exactly. You'd think it should be way up there.
Yeah.
Number 9 is BU, Boston University.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
And the number 1 best college for food service in the country from the state of Maine is? What?
It's probably going to be Maine Community College System. I don't know. I have no. I'm drawing a blank. I would say I said UNE because I graduated with my master's from UNE.
I'll tell you, it's in Brunswick.
Brunswick. What is?
Bowdoin.
Oh really? Oh yes. Yeah.
Bowdoin College in Maine is
the number one
in the country.
Wow.
For food service, everything done from scratch and in small batches.
No kidding.
None
That's
of the
great.
Cisco stuff. It's all happening right there in their kitchen.
It's not Lunch Lady Land anymore.
So there you go. The number one college.
I'm surprised. What was number 2? Did you have number 2?
No. Yeah. It was probably someplace in San Francisco. Yeah. Or, you know. So I just again wrote down the New England ones.
The New England ones. Yeah.
But there's 75, and it covers the whole country. There are actually some states that don't have any in this particular list. But if you go to MSN. .com, their food and wine page.
Yeah.
I believe that's where I found it the last couple days. So if you plow through it, you should be able to find it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they give a description on why these schools do so well. For St. A's, where actually Barbara works, they mention a bunch of really cool things that you wouldn't expect to find in the college food service that they make.
I remember, you know, when I said I went to Johnson & Wales and ours was great, but I went to visit my buddy at URI, and he's like, yeah, let's go to the dining hall. And I'm like, all right, well, we have, like, everything. I mean, like, it was just lines of food where you can choose, this section's the burger and fries section over here. We got stroganoff and all this sort of stuff. And then I go there, and it was like this crazy, just sad buffet with, like, spaghetti with, like, ketchup on it. And I'm like,
oh, no.
I was like, whoa. Really? That's what it seemed like. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, well, man, that's not good.
It's like that last scene from Goodfellas. Remember we talked weeks ago?
Oh yeah, right.
He goes, I moved out. I'm in the witness protection program. He goes, what'd I get? Egg noodles and ketchup.
Love egg noodles. All right, finally, a fun little item here. After 60 years of marriage, this couple celebrates each anniversary the same way. By taking a bite out of the cake from their wedding day.
Oh.
60 years old.
No kidding.
Ann and Ken Fredericks of Satellite Beach, Florida, got married August 19th, 1955, in Nyack, New York. That's where Rosie O'Donnell lives. And froze the top tier, as many people do, of their wedding cake in a metal Maxwell House coffee can.
Oh, my God.
She says, every year we unwrap it. Pour brandy over it because you need to moisten it, and we break off a piece.
And how old is this cake?
60 years old.
Oh my!
How much
God.
Could be left?
I did that for after 1 year. That was the tradition. And
yeah.
It was like, it tasted like freezer. It was just, I can imagine that.
Well, that's why they pour the brandy over it, to kill the freezer taste and to give it some moisture, I would guess. The 3-layer dark fruit cake. Ah, fruit cake. Covered, which has booze in it already, so maybe that's why, you know, if it really is a true fruit, a fruit cake.
Yeah.
It's got, what, brandy?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Covered with a hard shell and topped with a layer of buttercream frosting is particularly special to the couple because it was made by Anne's grandmother. Now our children are appalled that we would be eating something that's 60 years old, Anne said. But believe me, it's quite tasty as long as it's got enough brandy on it, and it never made us sick.
I just thought it would go bad. That's just,
no.
Oh, and what happened if your freezer ever broke down?
Well, there you go. You can't eat refrozen food. You shouldn't, right?
No, you shouldn't. Yeah.
60 years later, the cake is 4 inches wide and 3 inches long. So they got about another 2 or 3 years.
Oh my God!
It has lasted us 60 years, and so has the marriage. Anne said, which is much more important than the wedding cake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great stories. I love wedding cake.
Oh yeah, it's
gotta have buttercream frosting though.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. I sugar frosting can't stand it. Buttercream.
No. Yeah, they call it, you know, sugar frosting. It's what they call it in the industry. They call it grease cream.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's grease and it's just sugar,
and it's so grainy and it's just it's not good.
No. So it's but
I'll never catch you making that, will I?
Not at all.
Okay. Well, it's been another fun 2 hours with Chef Patrick Hall, co-hosting in
Thank
for
you once again.
Carol Lawrence. You're very welcome. And so we will see you back in your regular position, which is once a week.
Yeah.
On next Wednesday, I believe, right?
Yep. And don't forget to get your tickets for Shakers.org for the farm-to-table dinner.
Okay. You can remind us next week again.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's any tickets left.
Oh, yeah. I think there's going to be plenty of them, but, you know, so. But it's going to be quite a dinner. So.
Comedy Cold Cuts tomorrow features the theme of bacon.
Oh.
I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Mike Morin on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. Thanks, J-Dog.